Good morning. Welcome along. Academic selection in schools is working against children's human rights and maintaining the gap between rich and poor. Northern Ireland's new Children's Commissioner has said in an interview given to the Detail website, Kula Yusuma has called for an end to transfer tests and for it to be replaced with an all-ability integrated education system. Good morning to you, Kula.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Why?
Because the gap between the haves and the have-nots is just too huge. 95% of our children who attend grammar school achieve the government standard around five GCSEs, but only 44% of children who attend non-grammar schools. That is not something I'm willing or
only
able to stand
of.
44%.
Against?
Against 95%.
Wow.
In our grammar. Exactly. It's huge.
Yeah.
Even if you drill that down, a piece of research was published last year that said that less than 20% of Protestant working class boys on free school meals achieve that standard of five GCSEs, compared to just under 80% of Catholic middle class girls. I don't understand why there's not a huge furore and we're not having inquiries as to why we have such a big gap between our haves and our have-nots in our education system.
Well, maybe
system.
Because, Kula, the have-nots don't have the voice, don't have people speaking up powerfully enough for them.
I think, well, and I can see where your question's going, and that's my job.
Imagine if it was the other way around.
Imagine if it was the other way around.
Imagine if grammar schools weren't only 44% of grammar schools were getting 5% GCSEs and 95% secondary. There'd
imagine.
Be inquiry after inquiry.
There would be, and that is why we have offices such as mine. You know, my job as the Children's Commissioner is to ensure the rights and best interests of all our children in Northern Ireland. Our system was set up and to work for middle-class children, such as my own children. And that is not good enough because it needs to address the needs of all our children. I think with a proper conversation across our communities, the one that includes our academics and obviously our politicians and particularly our parents and our children and teachers, we can come up with a system that's right for Northern Ireland and helps all children achieve to their best of their ability.
You're only into the job when you're taking the politicians on already.
That's my job.
You know there's a stalemate in Stormont.
I do. I do know there's a stalemate.
And you're taking them on?
Well, that's my job to take them on.
Is it?
It is my job. It's not my job to take on politicians. It's my job.
That's what you just said.
I'm just clarifying it. It's my job to ensure that the rights of children, all children in Northern Ireland, are protected and promoted. That's my job.
But grammar schools are set up to look after middle-class kids. That's what you said.
The academic selection process suits the needs of middle-class kids. All the evidence tells us that. We have got wonderful, wonderful teaching in our grammar and our non-grammar systems. Let's learn from that. I'm not for one minute saying grammar schools are bad. They are not. What I'm saying is they only serve a proportion of our population. We need to have a proper debate about what is the best education system for all our children.
But we're not going to get sophisticated, mature debate if you continue with these sweeping statements that the system is set up for middle-class kids.
It's not a sweeping statement. It's an evidence-based statement. Three times as many
system?
Children...
Will you tell me how the system is set up for middle-class
three
kids?
Three times as many children are on free school meals in our non-grammar system than in our grammar system. Therefore, you can reasonably assume that's the test we have around numbers of children from socially deprived communities who are in our education system. It's quite clear that it's more affluent children in our grammar system.
But have you any notion, because I don't, so have you any notion what it is in the system that means it's set up for middle class kids? Because if you're stating which you are, that there are good teachers in both sets of schools, then what is it in the system that is skewing against working class kids?
I think,
what is it?
And this is where, you know, it's about the bigger conversation, because academic selection is just one aspect of our education system that we need to sort out. What we know is that children from poorer, disadvantaged communities, even from when they start school, are educationally further behind than children from more affluent families. What we need is a system that is able to bridge that gap.
I didn't know that. So before
did you not?
They start school?
Yeah. There's some research from across the water that says children from poorer families from the age of two are academically less able.
So
and that's not because...
Is that down to the parents then?
It's down to a number of things. Let's not start blaming parents.
Well, hold on a moment. But if kids are...
It's down further to behind the fact.
It too. It's reasonable for me to ask, is it down to the parents? Because that's who they've had contact with up to two.
Well, no, it's not. It's the fact that these children are living in poorer circumstances. And children from poorer and economically deprived communities. Let's look at some of the statistics about where the biggest educational disadvantage is.
Yeah, but hold on.
Go on.
So you're firing out lots and lots of statistics today, which are good and are informative. But actually, what's just as informative this morning and really interesting are the whys.
Yes.
The questions around the whys.
Yes.
So how on earth, because that's intriguing, how on earth and why would a kid at the age two from a poorer background be worse off educationally? Well, how? Because they're starting to learn to...
And these are the questions we need to address. I'm not for one minute saying to you I have the solutions, because as you know, Stephen, I've only been in this job 2 months. So what I'm saying is we need to have a proper review. What we know, what we absolutely know, one of the other things I've said is that poverty, child poverty in Northern Ireland has to be addressed. And this is one of the symptoms of child poverty. We need a system that addresses the needs and addresses disadvantage. It is. How can that be? And then how do we have an education system that just exacerbates that as they get older?
You talked about the middle classes there. And of course, when you had a choice to make, you put your children through the transfer test to go to grammar school?
I did. Yes, they did. They both do.
So, well, you wanted the special treatment. You wanted your kids to be a step ahead and you don't want anybody else's.
That's not true.
You know the word that comes to mind
here. Absolutely, I know the word to come. Do you want to say it or shall I?
You say it.
People may accuse me of being a hypocrite, Stephen.
Are you not?
How am I not? Because I'm not saying that I wanted my children to be a step ahead. What I'm saying is I want all children to be a step ahead. Me and my husband had a decision to be made that best suited the needs of our children. This system is set up to give advantages to children such as mine. What I have to be concerned about is all the children of Northern Ireland. As their commissioner, I am concerned about all the children in Northern Ireland. I don't want my children and I want every child to get the opportunities my children do. I don't want my children to get less. I want all children to get the same opportunities my children do. Am I sorry my children are subject to the system? Yes, I am. Do I think it could be better? Yes, I do. But I am the commissioner for all children, not just two children.
But you put your kids through the transfer test.
I did.
So therefore, you can't argue that the transfer test is harmful to kids because you wouldn't have done it to your own children.
No, I can't. I'm not saying the transfer test. Well, there are lots of stories about the trauma that some children face. We did everything we could to mitigate that. What I'm saying is that the transfer test benefits middle-class children and not
like
all
yours.
Like mine. What I'm saying is all children deserve the same opportunities that my children did. There has to be a better system to ensure that happens. We're talking about what could meet the needs of all children in Northern Ireland.
So you would presumably then advise all parents to try to get their kids into a grammar school until or unless the system has changed?
I'm advising.
It's
a good question. I think that's a good question. I think every parent has to make the decision that's best for their children within the system they have available to it. What I'm saying is that automatically, only 44% of our children can go to grammar school. What I'm saying is we need to have a proper conversation about a system that meets the needs of 100% of those 22,000 children that are transferring this year. That's what I'm interested in.
So you know the stalemate, though. You're aware of the stalemate. Sinn Féin scrapped the 11+. There's no consensus at Stormont on what to replace it with. So we've got the stalemate. Grammar schools remain. They've been setting their own transfer tests. How are you going to make a difference?
Well, that's the challenge I have over the next 4 years in this role. I have identified, and others before me, I'm not the first person, others before me have identified that this is an issue. As manifestos have come through the door in some of the local ones, they're talking about educational disadvantage. What I'm saying is please open your minds to our decision makers. Please open your minds and lead our society in a public conversation about the best education system for children in Northern Ireland.
And what if they say, mind your own business? Sticking your nose where it shouldn't be. They're the elected representatives and they're taking the decisions.
What I would say is that this government appointed a commissioner for children and young people. I am their advisor on promoting and protecting children's rights. If this is not my business, then I'm not sure what is. My business.
So just so I get this straight, you want to scrap grammar schools, do you?
No, I don't want to scrap grammar schools. I'm not offering the solution. What I'm saying
That's not good enough, is it? Because you've got to have at least a solution, a suggestion.
No, Because it's not for me to impose. I want us to have a proper conversation. Because if I impose a system, I need to bring people with me. I need somebody, all of us, to have the evidence in front of us about what a good system. We have some wonderful, wonderful things going on in our education system.
But you're talking,
Killa,
about the outcomes, dependent on whether a child goes to a secondary school or a grammar school. And you're saying that those outcomes are unfair. The differences
yes.
in the outcomes are unfair.
Because they're based on poverty and disadvantage, yes.
So therefore, it is obvious that you want one system, not two.
I do.
And therefore, you must want rid of grammar schools.
Intuitively, I want an all-ability system. What I'm saying is, let's, as a society, look at the evidence in front of us and let's make a decision as a society. Let's all of us who've got entrenched positions, open our minds and look at what is best for our children. Let's take the evidence, let's take what's best of our system in Northern Ireland, let's learn from other systems who achieve excellence and bridge the gaps of inequalities. Let's learn from that and let's have a system going forward. I'm loath to say it's this system or it's that system until we've had a proper conversation.
And it's obvious from what you're saying you want rid of grammar schools.
What I want is a system that meets the needs of all children in Northern Ireland. Because I don't want to get rid of a system that's achieving. Let's say get rid of secondary schools and all, and just have grammar schools. What is it? What I want is one system for our children, and I don't know what that is until we've looked at the evidence.
You're rocking the boat pretty early on in your career, aren't you? As a children's commissioner, is this the way you intend to go? What other things are you going to rattle their cage over?
Well, I'm not rattling the cage. I'm seeing inequality. That's my job, Stephen. That's my job. I've got 4 years in this gig, and it takes a long time to make changes to our system. I have to start rocking the boat early. I'm not new to the children's rights movement in Northern Ireland, as you know. And you have been across this table many times.
We have.
I've been around in Northern Ireland for over 21 years. You see the evidence. It takes a long time to make change. I'm not rocking the boat. I'm simply shining a spotlight on an issue that many, many people have been talking about and working on. We have had review after review about our health service. We've had reviews about our criminal justice system. These are very helpful reviews. Why can we not have a proper public conversation about our education system and how it serves its children?
I'm very passionate about working class families and kids because I came from that background myself. And the stat that you've given us this morning, 44% of kids. Let me just check that again so that I understand it. 44% of kids age what, Kua?
44% of children in our... you can hear shuffling of paper, and that's me just checking my stats. 44% of children in non-grammar schools leave school at age 16 having achieved the A to C grades in English, in GCSEs, including English and maths. That's 56% of them leave school not having achieved what the government tells us is the average, mm-hmm. compared to nearly 94.5% of grammar school children.
So 56% of kids. I'm sorry to keep on going with these figures, but I want to. So 56% of kids in non-grammar schools don't get 5 GCSEs.
At A to C, which includes English and maths. And maths.
Yeah. And in secondary school.
Yeah.
And only 6% of grammar school kids.
5.5%. Yeah.
5.5%.
Do not achieve the five.
Wow.
And Stephen, let's talk about 5% you.
5% v 56%.
Let's talk about
wow.
you.
Wow.
Would you want
to... Now, where are the political parties who claim to represent working class kids? What are they doing about that percentage?
How is that tolerable? Stephen... our Protestant boys on free school meals, just under 20% of them leave school having achieved that. Of our working class Protestant boys on free school meals, our poorest Protestant boys.
What percent?
Just under 20, 19.7%. Compared to, and this is where we do get into my children, compared to 76.7% of our Catholic girls on non-free school meals. Tell me, I want every child to be at that 95%. We have a number of issues. Academic selection isn't the only one, but we have a number of issues in our system. You know, we have groups within our system that need extra attention. But tell me how there's not a public outcry. Tell me why this is not front and centre at the doorsteps during an election.
I'd love to hear from you this morning at home, 0845 955 678, because that statistic has really startled me. I'm just sitting here thinking that through, and imagine if you're a parent sitting at home this morning. You don't need to imagine. If you're a parent, you're sitting at home this morning and you're looking at your kid, and you're from a working class background, so you're as good as anybody else, right? But the reality for your child, your son, your daughter in Northern Ireland, that while only 6% of kids in grammar schools in Northern Ireland will walk out without GCSEs, without those five GCSEs, including English and maths, the subjects you need, while only 6% of them will walk out without that, in your community, in your working class community, 56% of the kids in your street, in your area, will walk out without those qualifications. So that's the extent of the disadvantage that they're at such an early age. How is that continuing? Why is it being allowed to happen? Why isn't there an outcry? Mark in Belfast, first call of the day. Put those headphones on, cool, if you can. Can you stay with us for a minute?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mark. Morning, Mark.
How you doing, man? I think the system isn't that bad as it is. I come from a working class Protestant area. You know, I had five kids under my care, and my three daughters all went to a grammar school in South Belfast, and they do well.
Well, that's the point. Your kids went to grammar school.
Yes, but no, my three daughters, my two sons went to a North Belfast secondary school and actually got better results than my three daughters. Well, one of them got a first-class honours degree, the other one got a first-class honours degree, and is now just about two-thirds of his way through his PhD.
And isn't that and Mark, that's great for your kids.
But that's coming from the Shankill Road, who are being labelled as being the worst uneducated people in the country. The problem is, Stephen, the opportunities are there. The two boys chose not to do the transfer test. The three girls chose to do it. Every kid in this country has got the choice to do the transfer test. Their parents aren't putting them up for it, or the kids themselves don't want to do it for particular reasons.
Let me let Kula speak to you, Mark.
Mark, firstly, let me congratulate you and your family on what you've achieved.
Well, they've done everything themselves.
I think
nothing to do with me. It's what they've done, you know.
But you've talked about the Shankill, and I think that's a really important example, because you've said it yourself, the Shankill and those three wards in that area come out at the bottom of the league table around educational attainment. And there's a lot of work going on in that in that community at the moment. They've got a children, young people zone trying to address that. If you looked at that statistic and thought, well, you would think, well, actually, the people on the Shankill just can't do it. They can't cut the mustard when it comes to education. But here you are giving us an excellent example of how that's not the case. There has to be something structured. You know, there's something going on in that community. The statistics that Stephen's just highlighted demonstrate that you don't represent the majority of people in your community. And what we need to do is learn from families like yours, learn from the schools that your sons particularly went to, and find out what they did, and try to replicate that across our communities, as well as address some of the poverty issues and the housing issues and the health issues that our poorer communities have. Mark, but let's learn from you all.
Mark, can I put it a different way to you, Mark?
Yes.
I'm just sitting here thinking, again, to go back to these stats, right? 96% of grammar school kids come out with at least five GCSEs, only 44% of secondary school kids do. These are five GCSEs, A to C, right? Imagine if there was some government scheme. I think this is an easier way of putting it. Imagine if there was some government scheme where you could walk into, I don't know, a school uniform shop and get free school uniforms. And the government was basically saying, now, only 56% of non-grammar school kids are going to get those free school uniforms, but we're giving the free stuff to 96% of grammar school kids. Imagine how we would all react. We would all say, hold on a minute, it's got to be fairer than that. It's got to be more balanced than that. Do you see my point? And by the way, I went to a grammar school.
I went around the corner from me, and done well in life.
Listen, well, I don't know if I've done well in life. I've done okay. Oh. By the way, I didn't pass my 11+. There's another thing, and I'm sure lots of people listening this morning will think I'm stupid. That's fine. Whether you pass your 11 plus or not doesn't mean you're stupid is the point I'm trying
exactly.
to make. All right? I didn't pass it. When I didn't pass it, I felt I was stupid. So there's lots and lots and lots of loaded in here for us to discuss this morning. Joe and Cully Backey wants to speak to Cooler. Morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Stephen. I think this lady, she made a few ridiculous statements. First of all, she said that she had arrived in this job and she was going to rock the boat. She then confirmed her views on 11 plus, having admitted that her own two children have gone through the process. She then refers to the fact that the working class Protestant boys are not doing very well in these academic examinations. I'm from a very much a working class background in Harrieville. I've done okay, but the situation is that some of these Protestant boys don't want to become academics. They want to work at the sort of jobs that maybe their father worked at, maybe doing working in the roads or working in the council.
And people in grammar schools wouldn't want to follow in their father's footsteps?
Yeah, they would surely. They would surely. And I'll give you an example.
But what's your point, Joe? Tell me your point.
Well, a local point is that there's every possibility that all Catholic grammar schools in Northern Ireland are going to opt out of the 11 plus. The main Protestant school in Ballymena, the Academy, has got more Catholic pupils in it now than it ever has.
All right. Listen, Joe, thank you very much indeed. John, next morning, John.
Joe, how are you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, John.
Tell you what it is. I've been listening to the conversation there, and the lady there beside you, the commissioner.
Cooler like Yusuma, the new children's commissioner. Let's know her name for a start.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what it is. She had a decision to make. That's what she said. Other people have a choice to make, and it's a lifestyle choice. They're in poverty. They can't afford to send their kids to grammar school. And the kids have no interest because they're going home. Well, now they're going to get their dinner. That's what it's boiling down to. It's actually boiling down to leadership in the country. We're coming up in election here. The health service, the education service.
Why isn't this a big election issue?
Is it a big election issue?
Why is it not a big election issue? It's probably for the Assembly, to be fair. But
no, it's because...
Rather than Westminster, but let's see if it's a big election issue next year.
Well, maybe next year, when everybody's voted back in this year by the tribal voting. It's just going to continue until we get jobs, until we get proper financial support over here. Then the kids that don't have anything will have something. They'll have a bit of hope. That's what it's boiling down to. It's nothing to do with wanting to be educated. They have other worries. When they don't have other worries, they'll love to be educated. They'll enjoy
right.
it.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
I think you said it more eloquently than I could have. I think it is right. There are so many pressures and stresses on our poorer communities that they don't have the opportunities to focus on the education of their children.
Exactly. You know, the children as well, not just the parents. The children have to want to be educated.
But,
and they have too many stresses themselves to say, here, I want to be taught. No interest.
Well, it's about what we can do to make that more level. And going back to Joe's point about some of our Protestant boys leaving school to do the jobs their fathers did, those jobs are no longer available.
Yes, you're talking about the likes of the shipyard.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
And we need... And so there was no... You know, when my husband left school here in Northern Ireland in a working class community, at 16, he had a pick of jobs he could go into, any God's amount of apprenticeships. They're no longer available. We now need to have a certain level of educational attainment to be able to move into jobs. And I think that's what we, as a society, we need to get into that.
People want educated to go into computer jobs and such like. Everybody, but don't all have that education going to computers. No. We have a skill structure here, but we don't have a manufacturing industry.
Isn't it interesting? Isn't it also interesting, John, that, you know, if you think of the biggest political parties in Northern Ireland, one of their positioning statements would be that they work and fight for working class people.
It's tribal politics, tribal voting.
Isn't it really interesting though that these massive parties with a lot of power in this country who purport to work for working class people, well, are they delivering for working class kids?
No, they're not. And that's why there's so much frustration in the Protestant community, that there's no real leadership, no real politician. You've got too many politicians, DUP, UUP, the whole lot. That's what the problem is. It's too much. The vote's too many. It's too spread out. That's why. That's why there's no leadership. That's why the people are fed up. And the working class are stuck. They're absolutely stuck at the minute. And who else do they vote for? There is no one else. That's why.
It's not a matter. You know, I'm not going to get into the party politics because then
I'll
be banned.
No, I'm just telling you. Yeah, what I'm that's the way it is.
It's about how we. It's about having a proper conversation, and if people on the street and people on the doorsteps raise this as an issue, then we will have a proper open conversation about what is the best system for our children in Northern Ireland, and just to say, you know. Absolutely, our poorest children, we need to. But this is about all our children as well. Let's achieve for all our children and let's have a proper conversation. And at the moment, because we've got elections and what have you, I suppose I'm asking people to raise this on the doorsteps. And I, you know, not for one minute do I think our politicians don't care, but they've got so much to do. But sometimes we've got entrenched positions. Let's be open and listen to what each other has to say. And if somebody brings me evidence as to a system that's the best one, then that's the one we'll work for.
It's not just about education we're talking about, of course. If we look at health too, people who live in the 20% most deprived areas are 40% more likely to die before 75 than the Northern Ireland average. 40% more likely to die if you live in the 20% most deprived areas of Northern Ireland. What a fascinating conversation this morning. I'm starting to sound like Mark Crothers. Fascinating. That's the Transforming Your Care blueprint for the health service here. Here's the number, 08459 555 678. Kula, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. We'll cross swords at some other stage, Kula. Thank you.